This evening's scripturing will come from Matthew 10:16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, he is shrewd as snakes and as innocent doves.
Good evening. Great to see everybody. I hope you've had a good afternoon. I've definitely had a good day, and I'm very happy to be with you again. And I always appreciate the opportunity to come and share some of God's Word with you. This morning I kind of joked about when you come into Bible class and you hear something in Bible class, you're thinking, oh no, are they going to say the same thing that I was planning to speak about? And I kind of joked, you know, with Tim about it. And he came up to me. I hope it's okay if I tell him this. But you said something I appreciated. You're like, you know, sometimes I kind of like it when, you know, there's like a connection with, you know, what you're studying. And so I hope it's okay I told him you said that. But like, I kind of agree. I think that's, I like it when there's, when you kind of build off topics. And this sermon kind of does that too. I think it's good when you have a thought to just kind of be able to expand and build on it. And this morning we talked about truth, and really when I look at it, and you know what I hoped to convey is, you know, God is truth, and we're told that Satan is the father of lies. And when you just consider those two things, I know that things aren't always just black and white, but when you look at that, it's hard for me as a Christian to look at those passages and then say, well, there's some gray area with lying. If Satan's the father of lies and it is impossible for God to lie, I mean, that tells me where I want to be. And I believe the scriptures tell us that I can be confident in wanting to always tell the truth. And so I don't see a lot of justification for lying in scripture. I do think that's a very, very clear teaching. But sometimes we do look at things and we kind of see them on a spectrum where it's not just A or B, but there's things in the middle. Like, you know, do you like Wendy's? I mean, it's not necessarily, I do, I love Wendy's. It's not necessarily like a yes or no question. You could have an ambivalent feeling. It may not be super strong one way or the other. And an activity that we do that I've seen in school and been shown before is you'll kind of set up in the back of your classroom like a spectrum, and you'll ask students a little bit of an open-ended question. You say, you know, if you feel, you know, absolutely this way, if you just love Wendy's, it's your favorite, you stand on this side. If you hate it, you can't stand it, you stand on this side, but you can stand anywhere in between. And it gets students out of their seat, which is good, and it kind of makes them think. And there are issues like that we see that are kind of maybe shades of gray. And so tonight I wanted to kind of, it's not directly related, but you'll see some connections as we go through with what we talked about this morning in truth and falsehood. And I wanted to kind of look at a study of a Christian's character in terms of being naive and being cynical. Where we kind of think of being naive as being, you know, so trusting and so optimistic and so believing, perhaps to a fault. And we look at cynicism, perhaps on the other end of the spectrum, as being so doubting and so pessimistic, perhaps to a fault. Is that a spectrum? And, you know, if so, how do we as Christians kind of fall on that, or where should we fall on that? So that's what I kind of wanted to study. And I wanted to begin by looking at maybe some passages that give us some light about being naive, about being so trusting or so believing as for it to be a fault, and the problems with that. And in the passage that we had read for us, Matthew 10:16, Christ, when he ascending sending out his disciples, said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I think he's telling his disciples here to be as shrewd as snakes is to be discerning, is to not, when we think about a sheep going in among wolves, it's, we want to be careful. Like that's the idea that I get, to be discerning. And really, in some ways, no matter how we act as Christians, people in the world are going to see us as naive. They don't hold our values. Some people don't hold our values in very high esteem. They think it's foolish and naive. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase what some people might say, that, you know, you believe in this magical person in the sky who just loves you so much, and everything good that happens to you is because he makes it happen, and anything bad that happens to you, oh, that was also supposed to happen. They look at us as just being hopelessly naive and in believing anything that we were told and that we were indoctrinated when we grew up. And that's really not what I'm talking about, because, you know, again, I of course don't believe all those things. I believe that our truth is truth, that the Bible is the absolute Word of God, and we're not naive for believing something that is provably true and discernible from evidence. So I'm not saying that we need to try to avoid being naive from some worldly sense or by some worldly standard. But I believe that Jesus teaches us that we should not be naive. There was a quote that I found on the internet. I wanted to read it for you. People with pure hearts are always naive. They never see the ugly coming because their thought process is innocent. And I do think there is some truth to that. There may have been a time where maybe someone has taken advantage of you or one of us because we just, our thought process, or we couldn't imagine doing that, and we didn't expect anyone to do that to us. I don't think that that's our fault. I don't think that makes us naive if we have a good thought process and those kind of things don't enter our mind. But where I do think we get into where Christ teaches us that we should not be naive, I want to read Matthew 7:15. And this is something, again, that we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Christ does not tell us to believe everyone. He doesn't tell us to trust everything that we hear. We know that some of it is going to be lies, is going to be not his truth. And so he doesn't want us to be naive and to just believe these wolves in sheep's clothing. In 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to begin in verse 3, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. And then skipping down to verse 12. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things that they boast about. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And you know, a couple of things in this passage that Paul writes kind of strike me. It is almost like he's telling them, like, well, he uses the phrase in verse 3, that you may be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So he's telling you have a sincere and real devotion to Christ. That's a good thing. But then he says, You know, that these people may be preaching a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel. And he says it at the toward the end of verse 4, you put up with it easily enough. And again, that's kind of a striking phrase. He was kind of telling, like, you have a pure devotion, but when you hear something that's not the truth, don't put up with it. It almost puts me in the mind of someone like who's too bashful to disagree. And he's saying, like, don't let these things creep in. Don't let these things that you don't believe are true stay with you. We shouldn't be naive about things that are false, and we shouldn't put up with it. I mean, he says you put up with it easily enough. Like, he's not saying that as a good thing. We need to speak where the Bible speaks and to not condone things that are not true. When it comes to our spiritual beliefs, we cannot afford to be naive. We cannot afford to just accept things that people tell us. It was mentioned, I think, in our Bible class, the Bereans. They were noble because they checked what they were hearing against the Scriptures. And we, of course, must be the same way. And verse 15 of that passage in 2 Corinthians says that Satan's servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. And elsewhere, wolves in sheep's clothing. That tells us they're not going to show up and say, most of the time, here is something from Satan, here is evil, I want you to follow this lie. That's not how it's going to come. It's going to be masquerading as light. It's going to be masquerading as something compassionate and loving and kind. But it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we need to be, again, not naive. We need to be informed. And I've watched so many videos of people proclaiming the Word of God who are speaking what they claim as a spiritual truth, what they claim is good. And again, it may be comforting, loving, sincere, compassionate. But if it's not true, it's a lie. And it is of the devil. And there's so much information today. We have such readily access to so much. I mean, really, when you look at the history of mankind, and just in the last decades, in our lifetimes, the access to information is just skyrocketed. Like, you can just find any information that you want, and it's just growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's a good thing, but it's also given people access to falsehoods at a much higher rate too. Lies are much more accessible. And you can find just about every permutation, every possible angle of a belief that you want, you can find it somewhere. And that's troubling. Because as we talked about this morning, you know, when you want your truth, there's someone out there you can find who will accept it and will encourage you in it. So we need to make sure that we are discerning and not naive about spiritual things. And when I say that, I'm saying this about myself. I admit this, and maybe it's true for others also. When we say things like that, when we bring up these teachings, a lot of time my mind goes to people who aren't here, people outside the church. And that's true, but I think myself and all of us need to be careful that we don't always just view these teachings about false doctrines as being for people who aren't in this building. You know, as I said this morning, please don't trust me with truth. It should come from the Word of God. And every soul, every congregation that has wandered away, you know, that was right and is now slipped into falsehoods, I mean, perhaps they were sitting in the same place and saying, like, well, when we hear things about false teachers and wolves in sheep's clothing, we're talking about other people. When eventually it wasn't other people. And I don't think that's happening here, but I want us to always be ready. We don't want to fall into that and to be one of those stories. So, it's essential that we're not naive, and we are commanded to not naively believe everything that we hear, but to rigorously look at the Bible and to faithfully study. And now I want to kind of shift gears, looking at how I think we see God doesn't want us to be naive and believing in everything. I want to now kind of look at the other end of the spectrum, in cynicism, and being so cynical and being so pessimistic that you don't even believe and you ignore what is obviously true. There is a famous scientist, and I recently saw him on a video, and he was asked about God, you know, or creation or something like that. And to his credit, he didn't just say, like, no, I know there is no God. I don't believe that. But he kind of took this view of, well, I mean, that's not much to his credit, but he wasn't saying, I know for a fact there is no God. But he was saying, well, you know, when you look at history, you know, these things that people couldn't explain by science, they attributed to gods like, you know, the god of the sea and Zeus and all these things. And then later on, science explained those things, and it wasn't the gods that they believed. And so he was kind of implying that, well, yeah, there may be things that we can't explain, but maybe someday science will, and these things that we attribute to God will be able to explain. Again, I don't want to be overly critical of something like that, because I do think there's value in saying, you know, we need to examine the evidence and be open-minded and open-hearted. But when I hear things like that, it almost sounds a little, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but it almost sounds a little like a conspiracy theorist. Like when there are people who believe the world is flat, and they don't think the world is a sphere. And I watched a documentary one time about it, and it was kind of fascinating. Not that I was like going along with their beliefs, but it was just kind of to see the mindset and the thinking. And it was, again, I'll kind of paraphrase, but it was like, you know, well, we have this evidence that says that the world isn't flat. Well, that's fake. Well, there are people who have gone up into space and seen the curvature. They're liars. Well, you know, we have these pictures that they're faked. And it's such a level of cynicism and disbelief that there's this evidence sitting right in front of you, but you're so cynical, you go so far past reason, it's much easier to believe what you're seeing. And that's the way I sometimes see people who don't believe in God. We're saying, you know, they look at, well, the Bible, that's just made up. The people who witness Christ, they're liars. It's all fake. It's all a big conspiracy theory. All of the prophecies about Christ, coincidence. And there's this evidence that kind of stares us right in the face. You know, living things, they sprang from non-living things. And there's a writer out there, his name is Frank Turek. I'm not vouching for everything that he says, but he wrote a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And I think there's some truth in that. When looking at this, it's like some people become so cynical that it takes more faith, it takes a bigger leap to believe that there is no God than that there is a God. Because you have to believe in so many things that are scientifically, we know, like life doesn't spring from non-life, matter doesn't spring from non-matter. And I don't want to get into everything right now, it's not the point of the study, but some people are so cynical that they'll ignore the truth. And that's a problem. If the Bible is real, God is real, and there are implications about how we should live. And perhaps some people, either consciously or subconsciously, are being very cynical and pessimistic about the truth that we see that tells us about God, because that means that there is accountability and there's an expectation about how we live. So some people are so skeptical that they dismiss the truth. But even within the church, even within Christianity, I think we have to be careful not to become cynical in other respects. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And that tells us as Christians, I don't know that this is directly talking about, like, you know, being gullible or you know, I don't think God wants us to be gullible. It's not saying, like, just keep falling for the same tricks over and over again. But it is saying that we cannot have a cynical heart when it comes to forgiveness. We can't say, look, you've done this so many times, I'm not forgiving you. And kind of closing off our optimism and our love towards someone else. It is not naive to forgive. It's not naive to believe in people and to believe that they can change with the help of God. There was a person, and I'm probably going to mispronounce the name, Indra Nayogi, who was the chairman and CEO of PepsiCo, and was asked the most important leadership advice that she got. And I want to read what she said. "Whatever anybody says or does, assume positive intent. When you follow this advice, your whole approach to a person or problem becomes very different." And I think that's a great sentiment against cynicism. Maybe somebody does do something that isn't right, but we shouldn't assume that they were doing it out of spite or malice. Assume positive intent. Think the best of people. And maybe sometimes you are wrong, but it's better to be wrong and be optimistic and loving and believing in people than to be pessimistic and cynical and end up being right. Or to shut off, or maybe a better way of saying that, not to be right, but to be so cynical towards someone that you shut off an opportunity with them and you close off a relationship, and it affects the way you view that person and the way that you treat that person. It's easy to become disenchanted with the world around us. People make mistakes. And I fall into it too, and looking at the world and thinking that, you know, it's going down or things are getting worse. And even if we can point to things and say that, I think that as Christians, we need to believe God when He said that through Him all things are possible. And the gospel can change people. And every time someone becomes a Christian, I look at it as, you know, the world, I think I've heard it get brought out this way. Like, every time someone obeys the gospel, the world gets that much better. We just get a little bit closer, you know, to the world being the place that we hope it can be. So making the world better really comes down to spreading the gospel and spreading the truth and hoping that people will obey. For our sakes and for our children's sake, I want my children to grow up in a world that has more of the gospel in it. And I think that we should not be cynical and believe that that's not possible, because with God, it is. So, and also just one final point on that before we close. I don't think we should be cynical when we look at people in the gospel. Because I've heard it said, like, when you look at someone and you think, like, well, they wouldn't obey the gospel. They wouldn't believe. Look at the way they live. They're not going to be receptive. Well, we don't know their hearts. And it's not up to us to decide for them what they do with the truth. So, as we close tonight, you know, we started thinking about, you know, being naive and being cynical. And is it a spectrum? And is it something that, you know, we're supposed to find a balance in or get in the middle? And truthfully, I don't really know. But looking at these two things, if I had to kind of summarize it, I really kind of think that these two, it's not a spectrum. It's not something where we try to balance and getting better at one means we're getting worse at the other. I think that there are two independent characteristics that we kind of need to have. That being naive means we're not informed and we're not seeking after wisdom. And being cynical means you know, we're not being optimistic and we're not being faithful in the sense of believing in people and believing in things that can be good and being hopeful. And so I don't think we have to kind of choose to balance between those two things. I think we can choose to be wise and to not be naive and choose to be hopeful and loving and optimistic and not being cynical. I think we could choose both at the same time. And I don't think we have to strike a balance between those two things. I think that God wants us to be both, to not be naive and to not be cynical, but to be wise, to be careful, to be discerning, and to be loving and hopeful and joyous. So as a Christian, we can and should have both. And hopefully we can. I pray that we do. If you are not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, or you need anything from us as brothers and sisters, we stand ready to help you if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.